We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful that you have tuned in today to spend a half hour with us as we discuss the Word of God. And we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 61 today. We're going to be talking about some things that should go when the Spirit of the Lord God comes. When God comes, there are certain things that get pushed out, like sin. That would be a really good one for us to push out of our lives. And we're going to talk about some things that if these things, and they're identified as spiritual issues in the Word of God, that if these things show up, then that's a warning flag to us that we need to be on our face seeking the face of God and asking for His presence. It's the presence of God that makes all the difference for us. So we're going to read Isaiah chapter 61. Do want to remind you that this coming week we have a special weekend of activities. We'll have a special Good Friday broadcast this coming Friday. And then on Sunday we will be having a brunch. It's open to the public. It's absolutely free. We know that there are a number of people who do sunrise services on the beach that day. And so what we are going to do instead of the picnic we normally do afterwards, we're going to do an open to the community brunch. And that'll be from 9:30 to about 10:15. And then we will go in and have our praise and worship service. I'm really excited about the illustrated sermon that I'm going to be putting together. It is a right now topic that has historical relevance when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we want to invite you to come out and be a part of that. And let's get to that'll be Sunday morning, 10:30. We will not have Sunday night service that week. Also want to let you know this Wednesday we do not have our midweek service. The kids are on spring break, and so we gave our kids workers opportunities to decompress and get ready for the coming days of ministry ahead. So Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So there are certain things that are going to take place, and one of those is that when the Spirit of the Lord God comes, there's going to be comfort, and there's going to be an exchange of that which has been consumed and used up, and God's going to give something beautiful in its place. Instead of mourning, there will be the oil of joy and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us, there should be a spirit of praise and worship. Worshiping Him should not be just limited to three songs that we do on Sunday morning, or four songs, or however many, but we ought to be worshiping Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so we ought to be able to worship God for who He is. In fact, I tell people all the time that if you are discouraged, if you are downcast, you need to get into the presence of the Lord, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And in His presence we behold Him. When Isaiah saw Him, and God had moved upon Isaiah a number of times, God had moved in his life, and yet when Isaiah saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Okay? And so he saw how holy and majestic and wonderful God was, and he was ready to praise Him. The those around the throne were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Praise and worship goes on in heaven nonstop. It is never ending. It doesn't cease. And so whenever the Spirit of the Lord God comes, there should be an acclamation of worship. There should be something that takes place. And it is impossible for us to worship God, Him give us joy, and us remain depressed or have a spirit of heaviness. So heaviness has to go. When the Spirit of the Lord God comes, there's a choice that we could make if we're going to look at this. It says that God provides these things, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I've got a lot of clothes in my closet. I have clothes in my dresser. And those clothes don't do anything until I put them on. They're just there. But when I put them on, then those clothes are designed for a specific purpose. And so the garment of praise is designed to remove heaviness from the children of God. And so I encourage you today that if you're not as filled with the joy of the Lord as you would like to be, that you put on the garment of praise today and you begin to worship Him, and you worship Him for who He is, not for what your circumstances are. Listen, if I was limiting myself to the circumstances, we could always find an excuse why not to do something. But when we recognize who He is, then we realize that He is worthy to be praised. So the heaviness has got to go when the Spirit of the Lord God comes. I believe that when the Spirit of the Lord God comes, we will see Him as the all-sufficient one, that He is good and that He is a giver, that He is the lover of our souls, that He has things in store for us that are more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And so coveting between coveting what someone else has, that should go as well, because I know that God will give me exactly what I want or what I need. Why would I want to settle for what is custom made for someone else when it might not fit me? When I first came to Florida, there was a youth pastor, and he was going to plant a church, and as he did that, then that left a vacancy of ministering to the youth, and I was asked to fill in fill that role. And so I asked him, I said, what size shoe do you wear? And he told me, and his shoes were a little bit larger than mine. And so I went in that first youth group meeting and I said, "You know, this is a transition for all of us. You know, he's a friend of mine. God's called him to do something else." And I said, "And I tell you, I will never be able to fill his shoes because his shoe size is larger than mine." I wasn't trying to duplicate his ministry. I was trying to minister in accordance with what God had called me to do. And so you might think that coveting is not something that goes on, but I think that the world is designed to create in us a sense of discontentment. You know, there's a razor commercial out there that treats razors kind of like car dealers, and all of this fancy gimmickry gadgets that they've got and different techniques, and The guy said, I thought you told me that last year's model couldn't be beat. Yeah, well, we found a way to beat it. We found a way. Here, let me go talk to the finance department. And I want you to know, things are going to constantly progress, but do we always need the newest and the latest and the greatest? Could we not simply at some point in time allow ourselves the luxury of resting and being content with who God is? Our society currently is one that is constantly kicking the can down the road. I've got to have this and I can't wait for it. I've got to have it right now. And as a result of that, then you end up paying 2 and 3 and 4 times as much for it. So I encourage you today that you don't have to covet somebody else's job. You don't have to covet someone else's church. You don't have to covet someone else's wife. You don't have to covet someone else's house or automobile or their clothes or anything like that. Allow God to bring you that contentment that Paul had discovered, that God is your all in all, and you don't have to be going around being jealous of anybody about whatever they've got. Well, you don't know how much I wanted that job. Well, you know what I found? I found that God, if he closes one door, it's because he didn't want that door open. And I personally have seen a lot of people get promoted right into their own spiritual destruction. They would get promoted, and the next thing you know, their work is demanding so much time from them that they no longer have time to attend to their spiritual needs. And not only do they die spiritually, but many times their families die spiritually as well. And you know what? I've had this discussion with minister friends of mine and said, you know, if my family is the price tag, my family being a casualty is the price tag for having a large ministry, that's a price tag that I'm not willing to pay. And so I'm content with what God provides. Now, I believe that he gives good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That I believe that whatever I give him, when he pours it back, it's going to be more than what it was when I put it in his hands. It'll be like the loaves and the fishes. So I don't have to be jealous of what someone else has. And I encourage you, don't be coveting whatever they have either. One of my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs is, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And the best picture that I have of that is a church we worked at in East Texas. The pastor had a little cartoon that was up over his desk, and out there they have barbed wire fences. I don't know if you've ever got up close and personal with a barbed wire fence, but it can be a quite illuminating experience. It'll get your attention real quick. And in this, there were four pastures that are separated by barbed wire fence. There's one cow in each pasture, and each one of them has their head stuck through the fence where the barb is biting into their neck, and they're eating the supposedly greener grass on the other side of the fence. So I remembered that, and then at one point in time I was in a meeting where the speaker said, now folks, I'm from Arkansas, and he said, let me tell you that what we've discovered in Arkansas is that the grass is always greener over the septic tank. And I happen to know that was a reality in a part of the country that I grew up in, that you could tell where the lateral lines were during drought because the grass was still green there. You don't want somebody else's problems. You want God to give you exactly what you need at exactly the right time, and so be content. The scripture says that God blesses and adds no sorrow to it. Coveting what somebody else is only going to, or what they have is only going to leave me miserable or leave you miserable, and God doesn't want that. Another thing I want to talk to you about is There's a story in the book of Genesis where God was ready for there to be a change in a country or one of the tribes' leadership. One of Gideon's sons, one of Gideon's sons, his illegitimate son, had risen to power and had all of the rest of Gideon's sons killed except for one. And people entered into an alliance with him. And the one son prophesied and said, you know, hey, may y'all enjoy one another's company. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord sent a spirit of ill will between the two parties. It was whenever the unity ended and the strife and the discord kicked in, they ended up being the downfall of each other. He ended up destroying one city. He ended up dying as he was attacking the other city. And it was because the spiritual dynamic of that community was changed because there was hostility between one another. And I want you to know that I'm very concerned for America. Because Jesus said, and Jesus is never lies, and Jesus is never wrong, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so I don't see what's going on in America as a Democratic issue versus a Republican issue. I see it as Satan is wanting to divide America for America's downfall. That's what I see. Psalm 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, for there is the place of commanded blessing. Let me take you back over to that so I can read it to you. If you've never read that passage of scripture, you may want to spend some time focusing on that. It describes that the commanded blessing is going to start at the head of the priest and run all the way down to the edge of his garments. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, and here's the blessing, life evermore. And so when Jacob had run to Laban to escape Esau. Okay, now I'm going to share something with you. He was running to Laban because of a relationship problem that he had with Esau. So he ran. And that the problem with that relationship with Esau was that he had cheated Esau. That was his problem. When he got to Laban, Laban cheated him. Jacob said, why'd you treat me like that? And he said, oh, well, that's the custom here. And so Laban, according to the word of God, he changed Jacob's wages 10 times. And when you get into the story, let me see if I can find the passage for you. It's in Genesis 29 and 30, 31 in that area. It's a long way back to the beginning. So it is in Genesis. Let me see. Okay, it's not 30. Rachel has Joseph, chapter 31, Genesis chapter 31. And it says, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. And so it said that Laban's countenance wasn't the same towards Jacob as it had been before. And so let's look at this situation. How's the relationship between you and God? Because that's the first and most important relationship. But Jesus said, if you're praying at the altar and there's a brother that has something against you, you need to get up from where you're at and you need to go to them. And I want you to understand that there are two different passages of Scripture that talk about strained relationships. And it says that both parties are supposed to go and meet in the middle. That's God's best plan, is he works on the heart of one and he works on the heart of the other. And so Promise Keepers, Bill McCartney, the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes at the time, he said that what really launched that ministry was when a man was ministering in the church that he was at, and he said, guys, look into the face of your wife and see what her countenance is, because that will be a reflection of how well you're doing as a husband. And when he looked into his wife's eyes, he did not like what the reflection was. He saw that her countenance was not the same. He saw that even though he was a success on the football field, that he was missing it in the more important matter of his marriage. And so that countenance issue, that is an indication when there's a strain in the relationship. And listen, if I'm running after God with all of my heart and you're running after God with all of your heart, we should be finding ourselves in greater unity instead of less unity. Okay? And so Jacob decides that he's going to run from Laban, but the only place to run is right back towards Esau. And he was quite concerned because he knew that he was the one at fault for that strained relationship. And I'm sure that there are some strained relationships that I've been the problem in, and there's some strained relationships that I was not the cause of. And I've, in each and every one of those, I go above and beyond the call of duty to try and reach a reconciliation in that. If there's repentance and there's forgiveness, there can be reconciliation. And we've had some tremendous success with that through the years. But don't just allow strife and discord to rule and reign in your life. The peace of God should be manifest whenever the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. And believers ought to be able to get along with believers, and we ought to be able to be a blessing with one another. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're always going to agree with one another, but the Bible says, how can two walk together if they don't walk in agreement? And so we need to make sure that we are moving in the right direction. I told my kids this, I told kids in youth ministry this, and if you were to draw a road intersection, you know, just a big fancy plus sign, which indicates that there's a north-south road and an east-west road, you're going to have intersections where you're going to interact with people on a regular basis. And the reason I told this to young people is because young people end up making lifelong decisions based upon the limited number of intersections that they have come to in their life. And I tell them, I said, you need to make sure that the people that you are journeying through life with, that you're on the same path of life rather than just at a crossroads and you're more of a traffic accident that's happening. You're two cars going in opposite directions and you just happen to bump one another for a little while. You bumped into one another and you swapped paint. You don't want that to be your life-defining action. You need to make sure that if you're journeying through life with anybody, that you're in agreement that Jesus is Lord. that you're in agreement that he's your Lord and Savior, that you share a like faith and a like passion. Do you know that my wife absolutely loves Jesus and I absolutely love Jesus? But before I asked her to marry me, I made sure that we were going to be on the same ministry path together. And there was some concern about that because she expressed a call to missions, and I knew that God had called me to pastor, and we had never heard of the term home missions pastor until we were home missions pastors. We came to Merit Assembly of God to pastor a church that we had no salary, and we did not have many people, and we had a daunting task in front of us. A minister friend of mine showed up at the door one day, and he saw how we were living, and he said, "Wow, you all live like missionaries." And we said, "Yeah, we do. That's because that's what we are. We're missions, home missions pastors." And so when I knew that she was walking on the same path, that God had already given me a word of what he was going to do, how he was going to take the thread of my life and the thread of her life and weave us together as a beautiful tapestry that would be more beautiful than either of the threads individually on their own. That was the word that God gave me. And we have seen a lot of fruit, and we've got three beautiful, wonderful kids and a beautiful daughter-in-law and a beautiful grandchild. And lots of children in the faith, lots of testimonies, because we don't have ill will between us, and we don't let ill will stay between us. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And so I encourage you, take the necessary steps to make sure that if you do discover that somebody like I've ministered in Illinois, I've ministered in Oklahoma, I've ministered in Texas and Florida. So I've got like four ministry spots that I didn't end up staying at. Those were intersections where we journeyed together. We had like one of those Highway 1792 or whatever, you know, where there were two highways traveling the same way. But there was a time where we walked together, and then one of us had to go in a different direction. But those intersections aren't meant to be horrific accidents. They're supposed to be milestones and markers of what God has done in our life. Most of the pastors that I've ever worked for are some of my dearest friends today. And I encourage you to make sure strife and discord don't blot out the presence of the Lord in your life. It's not worth it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you is like an